Well, it is great to be here with you all this morning and have the privilege to be able to present and show you what you have been doing with us in Chile, and now to be able to share the Word of God, which is a passion that we have as missionaries and as people in full-time ministry. I would ask that you turn to Luke chapter 9, speaking in Spanish here. Luke chapter 9. And I'm going to teach you a word, two words in Spanish that you might not have heard of before. So I'm going to ask you to all repeat after me. It's the words, with all my heart, okay? With all my heart in Spanish. So, ready for this? Todo, which is all, corazón. Like, not courtesan. Corazón, which is heart. Todo corazón, all together. Todo corazón. That means with all my heart. And today, as I was getting ready for this message, it was about 4 weeks ago or so, I actually had a different message that I was planning on sharing to churches that would ask me to preach and present. And you all kind of know some big events have happened in the last few weeks. And now as I was preparing this message, in the middle of that week, I was going to speak on a Sunday. I was getting ready on a Tuesday. You all know what happened on a Wednesday, September 10th. And I'm not here to say one way or the other, but I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep that Wednesday night. I couldn't sleep that Thursday night. I couldn't sleep that Friday night. And the Lord had me change the message. And so as I get into the message, I want to speak today on all or nothing. All or nothing. About 25 years ago when I was working at camp, I finally, you know, I was raised there. I was born as a baby there. I washed pots and pans. I won things, bets at the snack shop. But as I got into the age where the people are my age that are working there, 17, 18 years old, I started working there in official capacity. And I don't remember if it was the first summer or the second summer, but I remember being a counselor. And I remember also while I was on director staff, we kept doing it for a few years. But there was one of those years where one of the leaders, challenged all of us men who were working at camp. There was about, 20 of us, 25 of us that were working at camp, all of us young men, to put on a rubber band around their wrist. I don't know if you remember this. And what we did as young men, we would meet in the training weeks, we would meet with each other. And I remember putting on this rubber band and being in agreement with all the other young men. And what it meant was, is if I was wearing this rubber band, it meant that I was making myself accountable to the other men at camp who knew what this was. And we were having accountability according to our purity. See, in the first training weeks, you have a lot of time to talk with the other young men and get to know them. And we pray together, we grow together. But as you go through camp, you don't really have much time to fellowship or socialize with the other people who are working at camp because you're always with the kids. And so as young men, one of the leaders, I don't remember if it was Greg, it might have been Greg, it might have been another guy, but they said, let's put this rubber band on, and as we go through the week, if you spot another one of our friends with a rubber band on and whole, it means that he's okay, he's doing good. But if you spot one of us with a rubber band cut and then a knot in it, it meant that that person needs your prayer because they failed. Failed in what? Failed in purity. Failed in mindset. Failed in thoughts. Failed in something in keeping your life pure so you can serve Jesus that summer. And so as we would see one of our friends maybe have a rubber band cut, we would, okay, we know we got to pray for that guy, even though I'm busy with all these campers. I can pray for my buddy. I can pray for his spiritual life. And then when there's a moment or something, maybe even the weekend comes up, we can actually get to him and say, hey, how are you doing? I prayed for you. What's going on? What do you need help with? But what is that rubber band? What is that really representing? Is it's representing me as Jared was saying that I'm all in. It's all or nothing. And what we're going to talk about today is this concept. The main thought of today's message is this. A whole heart, todo corazón, remember, a whole heart surrendered to Jesus is more than a figurative mindset, a rubber band. It's a daily reset. Let me repeat that. A whole heart surrendered to Jesus is more than a figurative mindset. It's a daily reset. What does that mean, this term, whole heart? Todo corazón. What does that mean? Well, if you look at Psalm 119, it says this, with my whole heart I have sought you that I may not wander from your commandments. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander. I've looked at hundreds of verses as getting ready for the message, and I have seen many verses, all of them about the whole heart. Hundreds that talk about the whole heart. And as you look at Jewish theology, it's not about a physical organ, your heart. I'm sure you agree with me. In Jewish theology, it was a symbolic statement of your mind, your will, and your emotions. All of you. I give you my heart. It's not about your beating heart. It's about giving your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's all or nothing. And as we think about all or nothing, we come to the scripture of Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and it says this. And I'm going to read here in my Bible. It's a little bit different than what's up on the screen, but it's almost the same. It says this. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And then in verse 24 it says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Point number one, when we talk about this whole heart, this todo corazón, we talk about that. Point number one of becoming, having a life where you're living all or nothing for Jesus is this, a heart that is not divided. You need to have a heart that is not divided. And as we see in verse 23, this just went crazy. What in the world? As we see in verse 23, it talks about, it gives you three statements, three imperatives. Number one, deny yourself. Number two, take up your cross. Number three, follow me. Denying, it's not really talking about, you know, suppressing your appetites like we do in a diet, eating cheese all day. Or pizza, if you want to do that. Not something like Lent. It's not that kind of denying. What it is saying, I make you, Jesus, the authority of my life. You call the shots. You're the boss. And we need to be very clear that you know who I'm talking to this morning. I am talking to a group of churchgoers who are disciples of Jesus. That's who I'm talking to right now. Let's be very honest. What is the meaning of giving your whole heart to Jesus? There's a lot of different ways you can say that, or different definitions you can put on that. One of those is this. You would agree with me. If you say that you are living with Jesus with your whole heart, you would say that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, right? I've given my whole heart. He's my Lord and my Savior. But sometimes, as a disciple of Jesus, a churchgoer committed to Jesus, we tend to separate those two. And sometimes, okay, he's our Savior, of course. There's a moment in time where I accepted Christ as my Savior. I remember it. I was broken. I realized my need for a Savior because of my sin. And I remember the point of salvation, becoming a child of God, the moment that I accepted him as my Savior. But then you have this Lord over here. And you say, Lord, you call the shots. You are my master. Not my will, but yours. Many times we tend to separate that. We say, yeah, you're my Savior, but you're not my Lord. And we live two different lifestyles. We can say, oh, he's my Lord and Savior, but then you go out over here and he's still your Savior, but he's not. You're not living like he's your Lord. All of me is yours, Lord. He's the captain of my destiny, and he's in charge of all of my daily details. That's the Lord of your life. There's a common misinterpretation that happens when you talk about, okay, prioritizing, I'm going to make Jesus number one on my list. He's going to be above everything else. Have you heard that? We've talked about that. The truth is, he doesn't want to be number one on your list. He wants to be the entire list. All of us have this misinterpretation where we say, Jesus has got to be the most important in my list. No, that's not right. Jesus is your entire list. I don't know how many of you have taught a young person to drive. Anyone teach a young person to drive a car? Raise your hand really high. Oh, okay. I'm not looking forward to that when my son, he's 12. And so in a few years, I'm going to teach him how to drive. And I'm not looking forward to that at all. It can be frightening, right? You as you're sitting there in the car and you're gonna go down with them. You're sitting there. You're pressing the fake pedal on your side. You're like, stop, stop, stop! Right? Yeah, I see someone going like this. Yes, I've done that. Yes. A lot of trust, a lot of faith you put in that young person with that huge vehicle that could kill you in any moment. And give me that steering wheel on my side, right? In Chile, they have all these driving schools, and the cars have two sets of wheels and two sets of pedals. So the instructor can take over at any moment. It's kind of crazy. Why can't they give me one of those cars to teach my son, right? And we all know the song, Jesus Take the Wheel. And as we sometimes try to take control back from Jesus. You all know the bumper sticker. I know you've seen it. You probably just saw it when it flipped through all these images by accident. What's the bumper sticker? Jesus is my co-pilot, right? Let's really understand what giving your whole heart, your undivided heart to Jesus is. Jesus is not my co-pilot. Jesus is my pilot. He's my Lord and my Savior. Let's understand that. There is no co-piloting here. There's only one pilot. There's only one captain. We have to understand this. Good contracts make good friends. We have to understand what all or nothing is for Jesus. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Not when I need you at different moments, but every moment. Remember, deny yourself, you call the shots. So what about taking up the cross? So what about that imperative statement after the deny yourself, taking up your cross? And this is where I'll confess, this is the part that kept me up a little bit. As the Lord was working in me and what we're going to be preaching about, I remember September 10th, and it took me back to a time when I had first heard about those five missionaries in Ecuador, and I first was getting to know that. My grandfather flew on the plane with them when they were dropping off things to the indigenous people in Ecuador. My grandfather was friends with Nate Saint, the Saint family and the Park family from the same area. And I remember my dad saying, your grandfather was up in that plane, and when they would drop like tools and things off for those to try to win hearts over so that someday they could have contact with them. When I learned about that story and about how they were killed, the other week I had the exact same sensation when Charlie Kirk was killed. And it made me start analyzing my own life, my own motivation. And I will confess with you right now, I had to wrestle with Jesus. And I said, Jesus, is it better for me to die so that I touch more people for Christ? Will you touch more people for Christ with my death than my life? Then take me now. That's what I was thinking. That's what kept me up all night. And it's almost like he didn't talk to me, but through God's scripture and God's leaning, it's almost like I could hear him saying, I don't need you to die. Not right now, but I need you to die to self. I need you to die to your ambitions, die to your motivations, and die to everything that is you so you can live for me. Take up your cross. Follow me. Jesus, you're all I got. I got to the point in my life at some point, way back when I gave my life to Christ, I'm saying yes. Whatever you want, whatever, however you want, with whomever you want, when you want. God, it's all yours. It's all or, whether you're, I'm losing it. It's all or nothing. Following Jesus is costly. I don't know if you knew that. It's almost like you have a contract, a blank contract. And you say, Jesus, here's my life. I don't know what you're going to do with it. I'm not going to try to negotiate anything with it. It's blank. I'm signing it over to you. Fill it up as you want. I'm already 100% in. It's all or nothing. But it does cost something. I remember staying up nights, especially on weekends, during school and things like that, where I have friends that were going and doing things that I was not involved in. And I remember feeling bad as a young teenager and saying, and being bored or lonely because I'm not involved with those groups of friends on those specific nights. I was not invited to those parties. And I remember asking God, why? Why is it like this? But I also remember coming to a point where, not to take it as a criticism, but to take it as a compliment, they realized that I didn't fit with them. So they wouldn't invite me. Which was a good thing, looking back on. And as we think about an undivided heart, how to live with an undivided heart, in our circumstance now, you and me, how do we live with all our heart, an undivided heart, when our hearts are so sinful? Jeremiah, your heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? How do I live with that heart and give that all to him? Well, it really doesn't take much. As I was sitting down here, looking up at the stage, I saw how to do that. All you have to do is look to Jesus and look to the one who gave it all. That's how you give all your heart. You follow that example. came down on this earth to a sinful earth where he was pure and he was not contaminated at all with sin, and he jumped into it. Came into it. And then he gave his life for it, for us. And then he rose again. He gave it all. All or nothing. Before I was ever even born, he had given it all for me. But now as we get into point number two, point number one is, how do we live this all or nothing lifestyle? You need to have an undivided heart. Number two, you need to live with a heart that has no reservations. A heart with no reservations. You can see in Luke chapter 9, verse 24, it says this, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." And you see these contradictions. You can see, you know I'm talking about the contradictions, like the words "pretty ugly," right? That's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. Then you have gourmet pizza. That's a contradiction. In Chile, they go yes, no, yes, no. They say that see, no, see, no. They say that constantly with different phrases, and it drives me nuts. And I'm translating it, and I'm like, wait, yes, no, yes, no. I had to learn these phrases mean something. It's contradiction. Jumbo shrimp. Contradiction. So you have this save it and lose it and save it. You have these contradictions. If you live your life seeking to hoard and to accumulate all these things, everything that you can, instead of making Jesus primary, you'll actually waste your life doing that. At the end, you don't have Jesus, and at the end, it's all vanity, it's all empty, it's meaningless. Versus, if you go all or nothing for Jesus, everyone else will look at you and say, oh, what a waste that guy is. I'm not going to invite him to a party. That's a waste. That guy's a waste. I'm not going to hang out with them. Their life's a waste. Look at what they're doing. Jesus says, watch this. Watch what I do with him. Watch what I do with her, that person who is living all or nothing for him. And he shows the world what that can look like. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. We have to be careful when all those things are added unto us. We don't let them define us. The success in life doesn't define us. The success in your profession doesn't define you. What you're able to purchase, what you're able to live with, if it's a lot, it can't define you. If it's a little, it can't define you. What defines you is that Jesus is the one who gave it to you, and remember, everything I have is from him. That defines you. And if we're not careful, we can get those things in our lives, and they can start becoming our God instead of Jesus being our God. But remember, those things will not satisfy you. It's the contradiction. It's Jesus that will satisfy you. And if it's not enough without whatever it is that you need, it's not going to be enough with whatever it is that you need. Let me say that again. If it's not enough without it, it'll never be enough with it. But if only I can get that house, if only I could upgrade to a bigger house, if only I could get that car, if only I could get that promotion or that job, if only I could get that girl or that guy, that relationship, if only, and you, maybe that recognition is all you want. So many get there to those, and they get all that they want and everything they desired. And you know what they'll say? Everything is vanity. It's meaningless. It's void. Only Jesus will satisfy. Go all in or nothing with Jesus. How many times do we reserve parts of our heart from Jesus? How many times do I reserve my finances? How many times do I reserve my relationships? Do I reserve whatever it is that I'm holding back from Jesus? You know, there's in 2010, I believe it was, when I asked Naldi to marry me. I surprised her. I took her to Baltimore Harbor, and I had some friends who were from that area, and so they went with us, and they were secretly recording it and taking pictures, and she just thought we were going to get to know. She had never been to Baltimore Harbor. She's from Chile. She doesn't know what it is. And so I'm like, this is a beautiful place. We're going to do it there. And I didn't know where I was going to do it exactly. So we walked around, eventually found the place, and I asked her to marry me. What would have happened if I got down on one knee, and I kneeled down, and I look up, and I'm sitting there, and we did it by the little red-white lighthouse there. I don't know if you know Baltimore Harbor, the little red lighthouse right there. That's where I did it, out in the corner, as far as you can get next to the water. And I'm kneeling down. What would have happened if I kneeled down to Naldi and I look up at her and I say, Naldi, I love you. I give you 99% of my heart. Will you marry me? Can you imagine what she would say? The ladies are in here like, uh-uh. Of course not, right? She'd say, you're crazy. Get out of here. No. But don't we do that with Jesus? If it doesn't work in an earthly relationship, it'll never work in a heavenly relationship. The moment we go all in, the moment we give our undivided heart, the moment we give a heart with no reservations, looks like this, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's an all or nothing statement. Here's another one. I am crucified with Christ. This is my life verse. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All or nothing. And here's another one. For the love of Christ constraineth us, or compels us, is what another version says, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, there's the contradiction, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Compelled to give my life to you. I don't have a choice but to live all or nothing for Jesus. It's all yours, Jesus. All my joy, all my purpose, all my longing. I've got nothing. It's all yours. And I remember the rich young ruler story. Do you remember that story? This rich young ruler came to Jesus. He was attracted to what he saw in Jesus and those disciples. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus, in his sovereign, in his all omnipotent, omniscient mind, gave him the wrong answer. Did you catch that? Have you read that story before? He doesn't say, what must I do? He doesn't say, believe that I'm the Savior. He doesn't say that. He says, keep my commandments. That's wrong. He's exposing a heart. His purpose, the master teacher, was exposing a rich young ruler's heart to what was holding him back from salvation. And he says, I'm going to expose him. I'm going to expose a heart that has possessions over Jesus. And it says he walked away, the rich young ruler, walked away with great sorrow. Why? Because he broke the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbors. He said, give everything to the poor, and he didn't want to do it. He doesn't love anybody but himself. And you can see how the rich young ruler, what did he want? He wanted to just add it. He wanted to add something else to his pocket. He had everything, but he didn't have Jesus. And he saw what that did to those 12 disciples and the people following Jesus, and he said, I want that. That's a good thing that attracted him. That's what Jesus' disciples should be doing and living in a way to attract people to Jesus. That's great, but when he got there, all he wanted to do was add it to all that he already had. They had Jesus and he didn't. And I can imagine the disciples seeing this rich young ruler, they want to be like him. Or they want him on their team. Remember, what were they doing? They were following Jesus, who was going to be a conqueror. They were following Jesus, who was going to take them and make them the race of all races. They were going to be in charge. They were going to be princes and making decisions, and they're going to get theirs. And they see this guy walk away, and Jesus... And they're like, what are you doing, Jesus? We need that kind of guy. But what we don't see is that both of those types of mindsets are missing something. They're missing Jesus. You see, it's all or nothing. It's the blank contract. Jesus, do with me as you will. We're going to finish with this. You can see I'm wearing a suit coat. Got a nice little outfit on. Have you ever heard of the program Try Before You Buy? I know many years ago Amazon used to do it. I don't know if they still do it. They still do it? Where you try before you buy? Or you go into the store and you keep... Actually, this jacket's not even mine yet. Got the tag on it, right? Try before you buy. There it is. You can send it back if you don't like it. You know, see if it fits you, if it looks good. I don't know. It's not me, maybe you think. And then you say, some people do it for those banquets and they, you know, get a tux or something. And they buy them and then send them back. I don't stop laughing. I know you guys are doing it. I see some of you. What does this mean, though? This means I don't own this yet. I can send it back. I'm not all in on this jacket. It's not all or nothing. But there comes a moment in time where I have to decide whether I'm going to send it back. And I don't know if the mic's going to pick this up. Let's see if I can make this dramatic. Can you help me? And you gotta rip it. Well, I ripped it off. There you go. Now it's mine. I'm not sending it back. For good or bad, this thing is staying with me. I am now all in on this jacket. I own it. I can get it dirty. I can keep it clean. The moment we cut the cord, it's mine. With Jesus, some of you are using him. Try before you buy, and it's not working. Remember, it's a contradiction. Some of us need to pop that tag and cut the cord. Go all or nothing with Jesus. Give him your whole heart. I challenge you this morning. Pastor Greg has given you a challenge this morning, just a financial one, which is the least of all challenges that you can do. I challenge you with your finances. I challenge you with your relationships. I challenge you with your jobs. With everything that is involved in your life, I challenge you to live all or nothing for Jesus. With todo corazón for Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this evening, this morning. Thank you for your word. I pray and beg that people here will walk out of these doors with a renewed love for you, a renewal of giving their lives all or nothing for your glory and for your work. In Jesus' name, amen.